This is such a rich gospel, the gospel of John, the story of the woman at the well. This incredible story. That woman must have remembered that moment through her entire life. Each one of us have had different religious experiences, hopefully with the Lord, where he has profoundly touched our lives in times of suffering, in times of joy. And we can pinpoint those moments in our life. They stand out in the landscape of our entire lives. Obviously, this must have stood out in her mind. How did John, who wrote this gospel, know anything about the Samaritan woman in this conversation? So it makes me wonder if he had a conversation later on with her. She must have been part of the early church. And he must have spoken to her. And even he has in his gospel that little phrase that tells us how important that moment was, because he says, and it was about noon. The exact moment of the day sticks in his mind as it stuck in her mind when Christ entered into her life and changed it forever. She is invited into conversation with the Lord. We are invited into conversation with the Lord every time we come together, every time we enter into prayer. And in that conversation, she comes to know herself more deeply. She even says, he told me everything I have done. He had a deep, intimate knowledge of her and helped her to understand even more deep things about herself. She understood him, who he was. She talks about a Messiah coming, and then Jesus says, I am he, the one speaking to you, using even that phrase that Moses heard God on Sinai speak. Moses asked God, well, who am I to tell my own people sent me to them? And God says, tell them I am sent you. The very root of our being, the very being itself, God. And Jesus, especially in John's gospel, uses that phrase over and over again. I am the bread of life. I am the way, the truth, the life. I am the living water. I am the one who is speaking to you here. So he is the one who manifests to her the truth of who he is, a growing understanding of who he is. And then what does that mean? Obviously, she leaves her water bucket and she goes back into her village and immediately starts to share with others this encounter that she had with this man who told her everything she had done. And because of her testimony, here, very early in John's gospel, very early in Jesus' public ministry, she becomes one of his first missionaries. This foreigner, this woman with a checkered past, he chooses purposely. Like he chose the apostles, that motley crew of 12, who would deny and run away from him. He chooses her to give us confidence. When we touch our own sin and our own weakness, our own frailty, he chooses each one of us for himself and draws us into conversation with him. So she's sent as that first missionary. In this season of Lent, we're focusing toward the great Paschal feast of Easter. And the whole meaning of this season, especially with the RCIA, the Rite of Christian Initiation of Adults, where in your own parish, a number of people are going to enter into our Catholic community, their journey graphically displays for us the journey that we have been on for most of us, most of our lives. So it recalls for us our own baptism, and we immerse ourselves more deeply in the waters of our baptism in this season to discover, to unwrap its meaning, to savor it more and more, that we have been brought into conversation with Jesus Christ. And in that conversation, we come to know ourselves more deeply, and hopefully know him more deeply as the very root and ground of our life, the salvation of our lives. Not just the fireman to put out the fires that we encounter in our life. Not just Santa Claus to give us the good things we want. And so often, if you're anything like me, that's often the way I approach God. But Jesus is that most intimate friend who knows each one of us more than we know ourselves. And that intimate friend who was willing to lay down his life for us, so much does he love us. And so he calls us into that conversation to learn about ourselves. The saints say the beginning of growth is self-knowledge. And so he comes to reveal ourselves to ourselves, both the good and the not-so-good inside of us, that we in humility are able to embrace the person that we are, frail as it is, magnificent as each one of us is, really, in God's creation. And then to know him as the great I Am, that divine Son of God who enters into our life. And then he sends us, each one of us, into our life this coming week. He has chosen you in your baptism, every one of you. He has made himself needy of you. He needs your presence because he desires his saving grace to enter into your families, into your workplace, into your neighborhood, and you are the vehicle by which he enters into those situations. He's chosen you with your own gifts, your own frailty, all that you are, to bring him into those situations, just like that Samaritan woman. She wasn't a great theologian. She merely went to those people and said, I've encountered a man who knows me so profoundly. He is the Messiah, the Savior of the world. So she becomes that preacher that all of us are called to be. In this ever-darkening world, how will the world ever know the saving grace and message of Jesus Christ that it so desperately needs? This world that is ever growing in darkness and violence, to know the peace of Christ, unless each one of us preaches that message, preaches that person in every situation in which we find ourselves. This is my business, really, with these young brothers who are here this weekend, bringing these novices to you. They've come into our life, spirited, alive, excited about this vocation. But they've come, hopefully, to understand it, to know themselves more deeply. And a lot of times that's not easy. You know it in your own marriages, in your own families. You discover constantly things about yourself you never even realized. So they come to know themselves. They come to know the Lord in their own spiritual life and to know him intimately as that friend so they can share what they have received with others. They can go out as Dominican preachers, possibly someday even come here. Father Corwin was one of my novices, came with me here. So they may come back here and minister in your midst in years to come. This morning I've asked Brother Joseph, our token Canadian, I stole your line, our token Canadian, to share with you a little bit of his own story and the working of God's grace to draw him to be a Dominican preacher. So, Brother Joseph.
I have one funny joke and he seals it. So as Father Anthony introduced me, I'm Brother Joseph, and I'm from Vancouver, Canada. I always love the reading of this gospel because it shows, you can see in the Samaritan's life how an encounter with the Lord can really, really cause a whole change of life and an about turn. And when I look back at my life through the lens of this scripture passage, I can see that where I am now really is a product of several profound encounters with the Lord. But also I'm able to see that it's a joy each day to be able to encounter the Lord anew in the Eucharist and especially the sacrifice of the Mass. And it's a great joy to be a Dominican to be able to do that, especially on a daily basis. I was born and raised in Vancouver, Canada. My mother and father were not practicing at the time. My mother was an agnostic, while my father had fallen away from the faith. They had a strong marriage, and my childhood was very pleasant. But my grandfather passed away. When my grandfather passed away, my father returned to the church. And at this time, I was not baptized. So I was baptized when I was about 12 years, or around grade 5. And as a consequence of this, I can actually remember my baptism, which has a profound mark on my memory. I can remember the holy words of the priests. I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. I can even remember him pushing down on my head, because the instinctive reaction is when water's poured over your face is to pull up. Like, joke, looking back, he was probably thinking, he's not going to get away. He's mine. But afterwards, I was enrolled in catechism class, and this is significant for several reasons. The first reason is my mother converted to Roman Catholicism at this time, so I have both parents happily practicing the faith. But also, it's really the first time I lifted my mind up to God in prayer, and I remember the prayer, too, as clear as day. I was in, it was the beginning of the catechism year, and it was a very long mass, and they had different faculty and people coming up, sort of introducing the beginning of the catechism year. And I remember the prayer. I said, "Oh Lord, give me patience, because this is so incredibly boring." And not the most reverent prayer, but God answers even this. And he flooded me with such tender consolations and love that I realized at that point that God was there for me and that he loved me. And so this was sort of the first real encounter with the Lord that I had, and it was very moving. But after catechism, unfortunately, after my confirmation, as most many people of my generation, I fell away from practicing the faith. I would have professed the creed if you asked me to. I still considered myself Catholic. But I stopped going to Mass and didn't agree with a lot of what the church taught. And just even in my home life and just the way I live my life, it wasn't consistent with the gospel. But during my high school year in grade 11, I had a profound conversion, and another, really, I think, the most significant and profound encounter with the Lord, that he really, for over a period of time, he started stimulating my conscience. So I was able to know in a more profound way, by his grace, what I was doing was wrong. And he made me feel remorse, but more significantly, he reminded me of his goodness. And this really happened over a period of time, and as with a lot of conversion experiences, you resist. You resist the Lord, and you try and hide your face from his. And it really came to a culmination in the most trivial of ways, that I was actually flipping through the channels, and I came on to a movie about St. Joan of Arc. And there's, for those that keep track of these things, there's three movies about St. Joan of Arc. Two of them are good. One of them is bad. I was watching the bad one. I came in halfway, and it was her Inquisition scene. And she was in front of her inquisitors. And it's just something about seeing what a profound relationship she had with the Lord, that God was really her highest good, and that everything in her life really received meaning and value from God, and everything that was opposed to God was valueless and vain. And so it's almost ridiculous what the smallest things that God can use to create a profound impact on you. I know there's stories of saints, them seeing like a lamb in the field and being reminded of Christ, the Paschal Lamb, and having conversion from that. These small little things that God can use as an occasion for conversion in your life. But I was able to see in that moment, he gave me a special grace to realize that anything other than him or has some relationship to him as the source of all good is really vain. And I was able to realize that all of these things in the world that I was going after were not going to make me happy. And what I really thirsted for was the Lord. And at that moment, I broke down in tears, and I later went and made a good confession. And I've sort of been spinning ever since. But after high school, I wasn't really looking at a vocation to the priesthood or religious life. I was thinking more at that point, how can I be a good Christian husband and father? What can I do to raise a family very well? And so I went to study information technology in British Columbia, at the British Columbia Institute of Technology. And there I studied systems administration. I was doing work with Unix and Windows Server and things like this. But really, at that time, I realized that I really desired something more, that I really thirsted to give a complete gift of self to Jesus Christ and the church. And it was really something that is hard to describe, but you really can't shake. And I realized at that time that I should probably look at religious life. And so I had always been reading St. Thomas, even since high school. And so I knew of the Dominicans through him and other avenues. And I really fell in love with the Dominican charism. So I knew I wanted to join the Dominicans. And there were Dominicans in Canada, but they were all French-speaking, so I didn't think I would fit in there, doing my ministry primarily in Quebec. But I knew I wanted to enter the Dominicans, and so I was looking at the American provinces. Now, to enter the American provinces, you need an undergraduate degree, which I only had an IT diploma. So I went and got my undergraduate degree actually at the Canadian Dominican Studium in Ottawa. So I studied philosophy there. And at that point, I was able to live in a Dominican convent for 2 years and became very close with the Dominican student brothers there and some of the priests. And it really confirmed my desire and my thirst and attraction to the Dominican charism. And afterwards, I went and visited the Western Dominican province, and I realized that it was the right group of people and in the right place and certainly the right order, so I made an application. And I'm very happy to be a Dominican and very happy to be with you here today. Thanks.